Heavenly Father, as we are about to open your holy word, we pray that you would fill us richly with your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would give us wisdom, give us understanding, so that as we read your word and as we hear that word proclaimed, we might see your glory and we might see the glory of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that the preaching of your word this morning would work faith in our hearts, faith in you, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, a strong faith which gives us firm confidence that you are our loving and merciful Heavenly Father and that Jesus Christ is our most compassionate Savior. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we'll be giving our attention to Jesus' encounter with the leper in the first chapter of Mark. And so in connection with that, I'd like to read first of all from Leviticus chapter 13, a few verses there. In Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 is where we find all the laws surrounding leprosy in the Old Testament. And so we'll read together just the first 8 verses of Leviticus chapter 13. Hear then the word of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of the body. And if the hair in the diseased area has turned white, and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. But if the spot is white in the skin of his body, and appears no deeper than the skin, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest shall shut up the diseased person for 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the 7th day. And if in his eyes the disease is checked and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up for another 7 days. And the priest shall examine him again on the 7th day. And if the diseased area has faded and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only an eruption. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the eruption spreads in the skin, after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again before the priest. And the priest shall look, and if the eruption has spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous disease." So far from Leviticus, we'll also turn ahead to the New Testament, to Mark chapter 1. We'll be giving our attention especially to verses 40 through 45, and so we'll read the verses leading up to that as well. Mark 1 will begin in verse 14. "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.' Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered into the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, 'What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. And that evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And here begins our text for this morning. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. So far our reading from the Word of God. Congregation of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, I wonder what comes into your mind if I were to say to you the name of Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa. Some of us may have images of her in our mind, working in the slums of India, caring for some of the most destitute people in that society. I know in my own mind there's this image I have burned into my memory of Mother Teresa holding these young children and babies, orphans who had just been totally neglected and forgotten about by the people around them. And whatever your impression might be of Mother Teresa, she indeed was someone who showed this great mercy, this great compassion for people in need, for people sick and suffering. She loved the people who suffered from the worst of sicknesses, things like AIDS, HIV, tuberculosis. And perhaps more strikingly, she even set up relief for people suffering from leprosy. Now, leprosy, it's one of those words, I think, when we hear it, we kind of shudder a little bit on the inside. We know that leprosy is a bad disease. We know that Scripture itself has a lot of bad things to say about having leprosy. We know that for the people of Israel anyways, that was probably one of the worst things that could have happened to you, one of the worst diseases you could have had. And so we hear this word leprosy, and what do? Well, we want to kind of back away from it. But then there's our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ encounters the leper in our text this morning, what do we see him doing? Well, he's not backing away. When Jesus encounters this leper, Mark tells us he's moved with pity. And what does he do? Well, then he stretches out his hand. He touches this man who is really no more than a walking dead man. And he cleanses this leper in his mercy and in his compassion. He restores this leper in a way which only the hand of God really ever could. And so this morning we'll consider just how amazing this cleansing of Jesus Christ is by considering three things. First, the power of Jesus, then the compassion of Jesus, and finally, the command of Jesus. We read earlier from Leviticus chapter 13 some ways of identifying leprous persons. And later on in that chapter, we also read the fate of a leprous person in the people of Israel. Leviticus 13, verse 45 says, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean!' And he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." That's a sorry picture of the leprous person, isn't it? When we hear those words, the way that he had to live outside the camp, be isolated from other people, even cry out that he was unclean, something that might come to our mind is perhaps all the restrictions that we've been living under over the past couple of years, and even now still. Even a few days ago, I was walking down the street and someone was coming towards me. And as we got a little closer, well, that person, he crossed to the other side of the street. It's like I had some sort of infectious disease myself. Or you can think of all the people who were hospitalized because of this virus. They were put into their special ward. No visitors were allowed. Staff would only come in if they were wearing every possible piece of protective equipment they could find. And tragically, many people also died in this state of isolation, this state of separation. And in many ways, this is a picture also of the leper in our text this morning. People would not go near this leper. He was isolated. He was cut off. Not just cut off from the people, but cut off even from God himself. And this isolation which was required of lepers, it wasn't just about preventing the spread of disease. It taught the people of Israel that any uncleanness, any impurity, also uncleanness and impurity which comes from sin, could not be in the presence of a holy God. Leprosy, it was sort of an outward manifestation of an inward problem which all the Israelites and which all of us suffer from as well, the problem of sin. And so in the same way, the leper's isolation, this too is a picture of the isolation which the people of God experienced if nothing was done to cleanse them from their sins. The isolation, the separation from God himself. And we know also that the situation of the leper, it was so bad that the people of Israel considered a leprous person really no better than a dead man. The way that a leper was to go about with torn clothes, with unkempt hair, with his upper lip covered, this was the same way that people who mourned for the dead would go about. And so we can see that this leper, he's put in the same category as a dead person. And there's such a vivid picture that we get of what impurity, what uncleanness, what even sin can do in our life. Sin, it creates this great separation between God and between us. And it's not only separation, but we know the problem for us runs deeper as well. Ephesians 2 verse 1 tells us that all of us, apart from Christ, are dead. Dead in transgressions and sins, cut off from communion with God. And so knowing this about the leper, knowing this about his situation in Israel, when we come to our text this morning in Mark 1 and we see this leprous person approaching Jesus Christ, this is a shocking thing. And the people who were around would have been shocked as well. They saw this leper who should have been nowhere near any of them, but what's he doing? He's approaching Jesus Christ. This leper, he's in danger of defiling people that are around him, and he's also in danger of defiling Jesus Christ. You know, you can think of all the people that the leper should have stayed away from. Well, that's the person, Jesus, the Son of God, come in the flesh, holy God. And yet this leper approaches him. He comes near to him. He doesn't care about what the law of Moses says. He comes to Jesus. He's attracted to Jesus. He knows somehow Jesus is different. He knows that Jesus is not the type of person who's going to cross to the other side of the road when you approach. He knows that Jesus is not like the priests who insist that he live outside the camp, live in isolation and abandonment. The leper sees Jesus Christ and he's drawn to him. He's attracted to him. He sees this potential for cleansing power, for compassion. And so we see the leper draw near to Jesus Christ, kneels before him, implores Jesus Christ, and he says in our text, "If you will, you can make me clean." The leper knows Jesus has the power. He knows Jesus can cleanse him. So he draws near, imploring Christ to do this for him. And the question which we can consider this morning is, how much can we relate to the situation of this leper? Do we recognize, first of all, the sin which is still in our life, the sin which clings to us, which has such potential to separate us from God? We read the law again this morning from Exodus chapter 20, and we saw again that we fall short of God's requirements. He calls us to live a holy life. And yet, week by week, we find ourselves going back to those sins which still cling so closely to us. And we know that this is a problem with our heart. Jeremiah says in his prophecy that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. And we see this in our own life. We feel this desire to hate our neighbors, to hate God even. It's not our instinct to show love, to show compassion. And when we know this to be true, we have to ask ourselves, how do we respond? How do we respond knowing the situation that we are in? Well, let this knowledge make you eager. Let it make you even desperate to go to Jesus Christ, to seek the cleansing power that he has, to go again to the foot of the cross and to see how Jesus is merciful and compassionate. Because when you think about it, there's really only two people that Jesus encountered in his time on this earth. There was a group of people who knew their problem. They knew they were sinners. They knew they needed Jesus Christ. And when you read through the Gospels, how often don't we find Jesus Christ in the company of the tax collectors, in the company of sinners? They knew they needed Christ and they came to him. That's one group of people. But then there's the other group of people that Jesus encountered in his time on the earth. And those are the people who thought that they could be right with God apart from Jesus Christ. People who were completely blind to their state of spiritual sin and death. People like the Pharisees, who in certain instances were even angered by Jesus, who didn't want anything to do with him, who wanted even to arrest him and kill him. And when we think about these two groups of people, then where do we find ourselves this morning? Which group are you a part of? Do you know your need and seek Jesus Christ? Or do you think that you're actually doing okay? You don't really need a Savior like Jesus. Well, pray that God would reveal your condition. Pray that God would reveal the sin in our life to us. That might sound like a strange thing to pray, that God would reveal sin to us. Why would we do that? Well, it's because that actually is the very path to freedom. Knowing your sin, knowing your state of death, it points you right to the cross of Jesus Christ. It points you right to the cleansing that he is powerful to give through his shed blood. The cleansing we all stand in need of. Now, there may be others of us here this morning who know this to be true, who know that Jesus Christ is powerful to cleanse, who know that he has the power to free you from your sins, who believe in the work that he has done on the cross. And yet, like the leper in our text this morning, you come to Jesus with this big if in your mind. Like the leper, you come to Jesus and you say, if you will, you can make me clean. But I don't actually know if you will. I don't know if it's your will to cleanse me. I look at myself. I see that my heart is so sick. I see that my sin runs so deep. I struggle so greatly against that sinful nature every day of my life. You know, can that really be for me? Can the cleansing power of Jesus Christ be for me as well? Well, if that's you, then pay very close attention to how Jesus Christ responds to the leper in our text this morning. Mark chapter 1, we saw the leper approaching Jesus Christ. Our text says in verse 41, Jesus Christ is moved with pity. He's moved with pity. Now that's one of those phrases in the Bible which is short, but so full, so rich with meaning. Moved with pity, it speaks about the deepest emotions in someone's life. The compassion which comes from the very bottom of our heart. And perhaps you've experienced a similar feeling in your own life. You can think about a time when maybe someone that you love is suffering. Maybe when a child has been seriously injured. Or maybe someone you know, a close friend, even a spouse or a sibling, is suffering with cancer or some other horrible sickness. And then there are also the times when the Lord can take people unexpectedly out of this life. These events, they shake us to the core. We're moved in our deepest being with compassion, with empathy, with pity. At times we even become, you know, physically sick as a result of the emotion which is flowing over top of us. And when we come to this passage in Mark, and Mark tells us Jesus Christ was moved with pity. Well, that is the pity that Christ is feeling in his deepest part of his being for this leper. And I think this is something which is so hard for us to fathom. You know, how can Jesus Christ feel this towards this leprous person? Not that long ago, I myself bumped into a rather shabby man. Wasn't suffering from leprosy, of course. But I looked at him and I saw that his clothes, they were dirty and torn. His hair was unkempt. When he smiled, then all you could see was a few yellow teeth still in his mouth. And my instinct, of course, was to back away from this person, to put some space between us. I'd rather stay away. And maybe you've had a similar experience. Maybe you drive through that part of town, or maybe you see that sort of person, You know that there's something wrong with them and you just don't want anything to do with them. You lock your doors. You get out of there. Maybe you do cross to the other side of the road. You see the effects of sin in someone's life and you back away. And yet it's exactly these type of people which Jesus Christ has compassion for. It's these type of people which move Jesus Christ in his deepest being with pity. And it's a perfect pity. It's a pity which doesn't have any repulsion about it at all. A pity which is drawn to these people. A pity which sees our need, which sees the effects of sin in our life, and which is drawn toward it. And we see Jesus displaying this pity, this compassion in other parts of Scripture as well. I wonder if you recall the story of Jesus' good friend Lazarus. Lazarus had died, as we know, and a few days after the death of Lazarus, Jesus Christ goes to the tomb. He goes to Bethany and he's led to the tomb of Lazarus. And boys and girls, I wonder if you remember what Jesus did when he came to the tomb of Lazarus at Bethany. Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ wept. Jesus wept. You know, he was so moved with pity, so moved with compassion in his heart, so distressed over the death of his friend, so distressed over the power which sin and death still held over those people that he loved, that he wept. He burst into tears for these people. And John tells us when Christ gets closer to the tomb, again, he breaks down, he weeps. He suffers from the pain, the death which he sees in his beloved people. And when we see Jesus acting in this way, we can ask ourselves, won't he also feel that compassion? Won't he also feel that same pity for me, for you? You know, Jesus Christ, he knows our condition. In fact, he knows it better than anyone else. Because Jesus sees into our hearts. He knows our sinfulness. He knows how we struggle against sin in our daily life. We don't always look very bad on the outside. But Jesus sees our thoughts. He sees our desires. Now just imagine for a moment that someone came up to you, handed you a book, and inside of that book were all of the thoughts and desires of someone that you loved. Maybe it's your best friend, maybe it's your spouse. And you had the ability to read this book. Well, how do you think your friend, how do you think your spouse would respond? They would see all the sin in your thoughts, the sin in your heart, the evil desires, and it might make them afraid of you. They might want to run away from you, knowing the truth of just how sinful, how sick we are in our hearts. Well, Jesus Christ has that book. You know, Jesus Christ sees our state of death. He sees the sin that we commit. But Jesus Christ is not repulsed. Jesus Christ is moved with compassion. He's moved with pity. You know, far from running away from us, he's actually drawn to us. He sees how we suffer, how we struggle against the powers of sin and death, and he's drawn to it. How do we know that's true? Well, I think we can look right at the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this great love he has for us, the compassion he has for us as sons, as daughters of our Lord and God, he even became one of us. He was born into this world, born as a man, to be with us, to be near us. He was drawn to this state of sin and death. And what's most amazing of all is that Christ was drawn to us with a very specific purpose as well. He was drawn into this world to put an end to sin, to defeat death, the last enemy. He came into this world because it was the will of his heavenly Father to cleanse us from our sins. It was the will of God to rescue us from this state of death. Jesus' pity, Jesus' compassion, it drove him right to the cross of Golgotha. So that though we die, yet we shall live. And it's at this point that the leper in our text was unsure. He comes to Jesus. He says, "If you will. If you will, you can make me clean, but I don't know. I just don't know if it's your will to cleanse me personally." And maybe that's the question you ask yourself this morning as well. Is the compassion, is the pity of Jesus Christ really for me? Well, again, just see what Christ does in our text. Moved with pity, he stretches out his hand, touches this leprous person, and he says, "I will be clean." And immediately that leprosy left him and he was clean. And again, we shouldn't miss the incredible aspect of this text. If anybody else in the entire world would have touched this leper, they too would have become unclean. It's so clear in the laws of Moses, but Jesus Christ comes to this leper, lays his hand upon him, and the exact opposite happens. The leper himself becomes clean from the touch of Jesus Christ. And how beautiful isn't that touch as well? You know, Jesus reaches out to this leper. He touches this social outcast, this reject, this person who no one else would have even gone close to. And Jesus Christ touches him with his gracious, with his compassionate hand, redeeming this leper from his life of constant death. And those words which Christ spoke to the leper are the very words which he speaks to each and every one of us as well. He says to us in our state of sin, he says, "I will be clean." You know, if you think you're a bit too sinful, if you think you're a bit too burdensome for our Lord Jesus Christ, if you think because of your sin that you're just a little bit too repulsive for Jesus Christ, then hear the words of Christ. He says, "I will be clean. I have great compassion for you, my brother, my sister, child of my heavenly Father. My heart, it's drawn to your brokenness. It's my desire, it's my will to cleanse you from your sin." And so cry out to Jesus, cry out and be cleansed. You know, this is the pity, this is the compassion which Jesus Christ has for each and every one of his people. It's his will, it's his desire from the bottom of his heart to cleanse us, to redeem us from our life of sin and death. And so we pray to Jesus Christ. We pray in faith, seeking the cleansing which Christ brings. And then also being confident that he will reach out with his mighty hand into our life as well and cleanse us from our sin and from our death. And having healed the leper in such an amazing way, we might be a little bit surprised as we read on in our text to see the command which Jesus then gives to this leprous man. He says in verse 43, "Well, he sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them.'" So why wouldn't Jesus want this leper, this person who used to be a leper, to tell people what had happened? Well, for one thing, the leper had a duty to fulfill the requirements of the law. Leviticus chapter 14, it lays all these requirements out in detail. And so Jesus says in verse 44, go show yourself to the priest and offer what the law commands. And here again, we see just how remarkably Jesus Christ came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. When you read through Leviticus 13 and 14, there's all sorts of laws around leprosy, how to identify it, what to do when someone's cleansed. But what you'll notice is missing is any method or any way to actually cleanse a leprous person. There are no special balms, no secret incantations you can use to cleanse a person of their leprosy. And why not? Well, it's because cleansing comes from God alone. Jesus Christ, in our text this morning, he did what the law was powerless to do. And so when this leprous person came to the priests, that would have been a powerful witness to those priests. As our text says, a proof to them. Because the priests, of course, they knew Scripture. They knew what was written in the law of Moses. And when this leper came to them, when he told them his story, these priests would have known that the prophet whom Moses himself prophesied would come was now walking amongst them. And it's this sort of attention to the Word of God which is the reason that Christ actually commands this leper to remain silent. We need to remember that we're in Mark chapter 1. This is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Not very many people had yet heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that message to repent and believe in the gospel. And of course, this is the message which people need to hear most of all. They need to know that they can be healed from their sin, healed from their state of death through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ, he didn't want the people to become distracted by all these wonderful miracles that he worked, as amazing as they were. He didn't want people to flock to him simply to have their physical needs attended to. Jesus Christ was there to save not just their bodies, but their souls from eternal death. And this was the message he wanted to go out. And so he tells the leper to remain silent about this healing so that Christ can proclaim to them the even greater glorious truth that he is bringing redemption for their souls. And of course, if that's the message which the people needed to hear then of course it's the message which people need to hear today as well. And it's important for us to recognize that the command Jesus gives to us is much different from the command to the leper. Jesus commanded the leper at the beginning of his ministry to remain silent. But now, having completed his ministry, having died on the cross, gone up to heaven, in stark contrast, Christ calls us to go out and proclaim this glorious gospel message, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And even though the leper in our text this morning rather blatantly disobeyed this command of Christ, we can certainly learn from his enthusiasm. You know, he went out and he told everyone that he met about the healing Christ had brought to him. And when we think about ourselves, how much more isn't this the case? Because Christ didn't just heal us from a physical ailment. He, through his death on the cross, has healed us from our state of spiritual death. He's cleansed us from our sins. And of course, we know just how much it cost our Lord Jesus Christ to do this. Already in our text this morning, there's a little hint of the price that it cost Jesus Christ. Having healed the leper, this social outcast, suddenly now our text tells us that Jesus Christ could no longer go about openly, but had to be out in desolate places. In some ways, Jesus Christ has switched spots with this leper. And of course, that's just the beginning. We know that Christ paid the greatest price of all. Death on the cross, outside the camp of God, forsaken by God himself, so that we might never be forsaken by him. You know, that really is the glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And doesn't it bring amazement into your heart? Doesn't it fill you with a great joy knowing what Christ has done for you? And doesn't it make you so eager to share that joy, to share the good news with others? To fulfill our calling to go out into all the world and to tell people of the love, the compassion of Jesus Christ, which he has shown to each and every one of us. You know, the saying is trustworthy and true. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And of course, that's us. We are sinners. But that's also people all around us as well. People who you work with, people you meet at the park, everyone who we bump into, the gospel is for them. Because apart from Jesus Christ, they too are walking dead men and women, isolated from God, cut off from fellowship with him, just like the leper was in our text this morning. And yet, as we've seen, these are the people that Christ is drawn to. These are the people that his heart goes out to. People lost in their state of sin and death. And just as it was the will of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from your sin, so it is the will of Christ to cleanse many more as well, to bring them in to the kingdom of his heavenly Father. And so we pray to God that our hearts would be transformed to be more and more like Jesus Christ, to feel that compassion towards those who are lost, so that we can tell them of the compassion of Jesus Christ, the love he has, the will, the desire, the power he has to cleanse from sin. For we know that the arm of God, it is not too short. The compassion of Jesus Christ is not too shallow. And so we can rejoice that God in Jesus Christ has cleansed us from our sins, and we can go forth boldly proclaiming, spreading the good news of the cleansing power of Jesus Christ and of his great pity and compassion towards us. Amen. Let's now bow our heads in prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, your mercy and your compassion are everlasting and unfailing. Like the tender mercy of a father, you showed your great compassion to those who love you. You showed your great mercy to those who put their faith and their trust in you. And we praise you, Lord God, for the way that you have revealed your mercy and your compassion to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, we see the very heart of God, a heart which is not repulsed because of our sins, but a heart which is drawn to us. And this is an amazing truth, Heavenly Father, for we know that you can see into our hearts. You know that we are weak. You know that we are sinful. You know that we don't always trust you as we should. And yet, despite all these things, you show your love to us. You show your pity and your compassion to us. And so great is your compassion that you sent Jesus Christ into this world. So great is your love for us that our Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, experiencing death himself in order to rescue us and cleanse us from our state of sin and death. What a Savior, Lord God, and what a glorious gospel message. We pray that you would fill us with the joy of knowing the love of Christ, knowing what he has done for us. And we also pray that you would transform our own hearts more and more to be like his, Help us to have compassion. Help us to have love for those who are lost in their sins. Help us to have compassion for those who are suffering in this life apart from Jesus Christ. Give us confidence. Give us boldness. Give us the love to draw near to them and proclaim the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. All this we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.